You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network, your guide to business and personal success.
There and networking for new opportunities for your business, what are you saying to the people you meet? Are you clear? Are you concise? Are you compelling? You're not trying to make a sale with your pitch, going from cold to sold in one conversation. The purpose of your pitch is to generate interest, to get the person to say, that's interesting, tell me more, or what's that all about? You don't need to be cute with your pitch either. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to be in the form of a haiku in 17 syllables and appealing to the five senses. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Simple language, simple concepts are best. The key is the person you're talking to has to understand what you do, because if not, they're not going to be able to explain it to anyone else. And in effect, their networks will be closed off to you, not because they don't want to help you, but because they're not sure how to help you.
The ePodcast Network, supported by the most renowned success stories in business today. Subscribe today and never miss another show on EPN.
This EPN podcast is brought to you by the Discover Card, where you get unlimited double miles on all purchases, and by PR Web. Tell your story to the world. You can find more information on these two offers by simply clicking on the appropriate banners on the right-hand side of our site at epodcastnetwork.com. And now it's time for Social Media Coffee Talk with Harrison Painter.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Social Media Coffee Talk. My name is Harrison Painter, your host, and this is the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, EPN. Whether you're a seasoned business professional or a brand new entrepreneur, EPN has the shows filled with advice, inspiration, and information to help you succeed. Are you guys ready? Let's get started right now. Today, I want to talk about some news that came out on June 25th that involved the Kellogg's Corporation. Most of you know Kellogg's from Fruit Loops, Honey Smacks. They're great, right? The Frosted Flakes commercials there. And on June 25th, Kellogg's issued a recall of 28 million boxes of Corn Pops, Honey Smacks, Fruit Loops, and Apple Jack cereals. Now, wherever you're listening to this podcast, if it's here on EPN, there's going to be a link to the press release, because I want you guys, if you have any of those four cereals, I want you to check the UPC on that and make sure that you don't have one of these boxes. Basically, what happened is there's a waxy smell and flavor coming from the liners, and it's making people very ill, nauseous, even vomiting, if you will. And I want to make sure that your children aren't affected by this, or if you're like me, an adult that loves his Fruit Loops, that you don't get sick as well. So we'll put that link up to the press release so you can check your boxes and make sure that you don't have one of these affected items. Okay. What does this have to do with social media? I'm very glad you asked. This press release came out on June 25th, and my wife went to our local grocery store on June 26th, and she actually bought a box of Fruit Loops. And this box is one of the recalled boxes. My question is, if the retailers are not even yet aware of the recall, how are the consumers going to know about it? That tells me there's been a serious communication breakdown across the board. Since I make my living in the social media space, I decided to investigate a little bit and look at Kellogg's overall social media presence and how they're communicating with their customers. Well, first off, I could not find a Kellogg's USA account. Now, I did find a Kellogg's account on Twitter, but it was for their UK division, United Kingdom, England. But there was no mention of the recall on that account. Now, I would assume that the divisions are very separate, so I would assume it's a US-based recall, and I understand that. Over on Facebook, they do have a business page, Kellogg's Cares, and on that account, I did see one post about the recall. At the time of this recording, there's 22 comments, but there's only 3 responses from Kellogg's, and it was just that very basic, call us at 888-801-4163 and state how many affected packages you have, right? So a very canned response. Not a big fan of that. And I could not find a YouTube account for Kellogg's either. Since I am the type of guy that likes to focus on the solutions and not the problems, I view these unfortunate situations as a prime opportunity to really improve brand image and create massive value for a customer base. So please do not take this podcast as me slamming on Kellogg. This is a phenomenal company that's been doing it very well for a long time. But social media is new to a lot of these companies, especially large companies, and they just have been very slow to move in and do it correctly. Now, what I want to do is offer up Kellogg's, really, a 3-step basic plan. So that way, if this ever happens again, they're going to be better prepared for it. And through me doing this, really, this is for all of you guys out there. Because when disaster happens, when things get very, very tough, when you see these challenges, it is a prime opportunity to step up to the plate and make greatness happen. So in the case here of Kellogg's, they need to open a US-based Twitter account. Either hire a company like me, a person like me, or bring on a small staff of people there internally to run that account and engage their customers. Now, on the Facebook account, Kellogg's Cares, they need to take the time to get in the conversation with their consumers. It's not always going to be pretty, but just saying you care and offering up a phone number is not going to cut it anymore. Marketing, branding, customer service, everything has changed. And I can tell you, if my children would have eaten this box of Fruit Loops, and they would have ended up puking all over the place, under their current system, it would be very hard for them to keep my business. It really, really would. And I would rather see them have a plan in place to prevent this from ever happening again. In these times of crisis, you want to win over the people. And you do that by just being honest. Come out, say you're sorry. Keep the people informed. Let them know that you have a plan to make sure this never happens again, and take the time to listen to what they're saying. That's step number 2. Step number 3, open a YouTube account. And in this case, David Mackey, their CEO, or your company, your CEO, or if you're the owner, sole proprietor, president, the voice of your company, you would make a video issuing a statement, making an apology to your consumers, explaining the recall, making sure that that video is available everywhere for bloggers, viewers, consumers to spread the word and ensure that as many people as possible are aware of the recall. It protects everybody, and you cannot move a message faster than you. I mean, right now it's social media. That is how people are communicating. Get it out there. Let the people move your message. That's my three-step plan for Kellogg's. Now, I know it's a little more complicated than that, but at least this is a very good start. And I really urge Kellogg to follow these three basic steps during these challenging times, because it can become an opportunity to build that brand even stronger, even stronger. All right, so that is my take here on the Kellogg situation. So again, everybody, make sure that you don't have these products in your house. If you do, I will have a link for you. Contact Kellogg's and they will take care of it. So I'm trying to be a part of the solution here, and I'm looking out for you guys. All right, I have another very cool social media story for you guys here. And it involves something that really is not very glamorous. And that is the Michigan Department of Transportation, MDOT. Right? We all know Michigan has really hit hard times, even worse than the rest of the country, through this recession. Right? The auto industry has taken a massive hit, and Detroit, Michigan in general, has been decimated by it. But that has not stopped the Michigan Department of Transportation from being innovative and working extremely hard at keeping the community informed. And I find this just amazing. So what they've done is they're using the social media platforms, Twitter. They actually have six Twitter accounts to keep people informed. And they've broke them down by metro, surrounding counties, regions, and two particular interstate construction projects. So people can look at these Twitter accounts and get the information they need to move around the county smoothly and get these updates that they need. And I don't know the numbers on what they're doing, but I guarantee you it's a very, very cost-effective method for them, and they're probably saving a good chunk of money from what they used to do. Another very cool thing they're doing is on their YouTube account, they are actually creating videos helping people. So, you know, a big trend in America right now is we've gone from these four-way stops to roundabouts. And in the Midwest especially, this is a brand new concept that's only been around a few years now. And they created a video, how to drive a roundabout and helping people with, you know, the rules of the road for these roundabouts. They had another very informative video that I've just recently put up in my blog, why median guardrails save lives, and kind of explaining, you know, the makeup of these guardrails and whatnot and how they protect you. So I found that very informative and very cool. So, you know, I know a lot of other people do as well. So I take my hat off to the Michigan Department of Transportation. They're doing some great things in the space. And I will say this. This is one of the few times when I will say that one-way communication works in social media, right? You always hear me talking about two-way and engagement, you know, and touching the people and conversation. But in this case, you are getting valuable information to the public very quickly and allowing them to spread the message through retweets and sharing buttons and things like that and getting it out there very quickly. So in this case, one-way communication is fantastic because it's all about speed and convenience here. And look, in Michigan, my good friend Scott Monty there, the Ford Motor Company social media guy, I know he's sitting in his Ford office smiling about how MDOT is using social media. So great story. And again, MDOT, I salute you guys. Great, great job. And the last story I want to share with you guys today, it's not really a story. I want to give you guys seven ways to protect your privacy in social media. The privacy issues have been very, very big over the past couple of months. A lot of you might have heard the big hubbub over on Facebook and some of the changes, and then they had to change more things and all of this. But at the end of the day, everybody does need to think about privacy in social media. What that means, what that doesn't mean. Hence the word social media, you're out there. You're in the space. You're talking. You're sharing. So we know going into this that there's not a lot of privacy. But I want to share with you seven ways to protect your privacy in social media. And a lot of these might be common sense, and a lot of these are things that, you know, we just might not think of as we're in the space and having fun. So I hope these seven tips really help you guys. Number one, use strong passwords. Make sure they're at least 10 characters and that they include letters, numbers, and when possible, symbols. Let's not make it easy on cyber criminals to crack your password. Now, here's where I say that it gets a little tricky, because we all tend to get a little lazy sometimes with these passwords, and me included. I've done it many, many times. But with your accounts, please do not use the same password for every single account, because if a cyber criminal ever does crack the code, you have just opened the entire treasure chest for them. So let's not make it easy on these guys. They have one goal, and that's to victimize you. So let's work hard to prevent that from happening. Number two, use common sense when giving up information. Think about the security questions that you're being answered. There's actually a commercial right now on TV about, you know, the banking. It's a fake bank, and they're asking for DNA and all that kind of thing. And it's a funny commercial. But unfortunately, a lot of people truly fall victim to this stuff. So I'm hoping to create some awareness. So when I say common sense, it's one thing to answer a security question on what your first car was or what your mother's maiden name is. But it does not make sense to be asked for a social security number, your driver's license number, or a credit card number. So don't get complacent when you're answering these questions, folks. Okay, keep your eyes wide open. And think safety here. Number three, never, ever say anything in the social media space that you would not put up on a billboard on the busiest freeway. I don't care how advanced privacy settings are. I don't care how much they change them. They try to make you feel confident. Nothing, and I repeat this, nothing is ever foolproof. Always err on the side of caution and speak to the crowd. Speak to the crowd. If you've got something private to say, do it offline. That's my advice. Number four, be selective in the links that you click. If you receive a link as a DM on Twitter or in a Facebook email, make sure it is from someone you know and trust. And if there is any question in that link whatsoever, if this does not look like something that your friend would normally send you, contact them and ask them if they sent it over. Always, again, err on the side of caution. I can't tell you how many times I see people, their computers get a virus, they thought it was their friend, their mom, their grandma that sent this link, they clicked it and boom, right? Then you've got a whole process. You're going to have to go to Best Buy or a Geek Squad, get a friend over, and you know, it's a whole affair. It's either going to cost you time or money or both. So please be selective in the links that you click. Number five, if you are using Foursquare, Brightkite, Yelp, Twitter now, Gowalla, any of those location-based social networking services, I want you guys to focus on checking in to your locations as you're leaving. I think this is very important, especially for women. You know, I mean, Foursquare and all that, it really is a paradise for stalkers and things like that, or criminals that could really follow you and see where you're going and what your patterns are. So don't create patterns in your check-ins either. You know, shake it up a bit, or don't always check into the same place at the same time every day. Okay, I think it's just not smart, I don't think, to check into work. And please do not check into your house, in and out of your house. You're giving up your address even and making it very, very easy for these guys. So have fun with it. Just be smart about it. My advice, again, is always just check in when you're leaving. And I think that solves a lot of problems. Number six, Google your favorite social sites for information on privacy issues, scams, and any changes that are happening. Just stay up to date on what's going on with the terms of service and how these sites are evolving to deal with your privacy. And lastly, number 7, before you friend or follow someone, take a look at their bio. Look at their wall. See their engagement level with other people. Find out what they're all about. Just don't randomly go out there and just friend a ton of people. Take the time. You know, you're here to build real relationships with people. You're here to build your business. You're here, yes, maybe to sell products and services, but you still want to take the time to know your customer. And having this type of policy, it doesn't only protect you, but it protects the people in your network. It protects me. It protects all of us as a whole. At the end of the day, we do have to police ourselves. And by having this policy and taking the time to do this, it really can make this space that much more valuable. So follow these 7 simple tips and go out there and have fun, folks. Go out there and have fun. Protect your privacy and social media. All right, well, that's it for me today. Please visit my website, coffeewithharrison.com. I've got a lot of great blog posts over there. I do videos on July 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern. Coffee with Harrison goes live over on Ustream, and I will have a stream up on coffeewithharrison.com as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you guys. We'll have a chat. We'll have a Twitter over there. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. So, all right. Well, this has been Social Media Coffee Talk. I am your host, Harrison Painter. This is the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. See you next week. Love it.
This is Sarah Cook. Join me for Raising CEO Kids, the show that helps you help your kids be successful entrepreneurs, right here on EPN.
The ePodcast Network. Supported by the most renowned success stories in business today. Subscribe today and never miss another show on EPN.